Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs 19, 26 through 29. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Starting in 26, Proverbs 19. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for instructing us. Lord, we pray as we look at your word, Lord, we pray that you would humble us, that we would be teachable. Lord, we thank you so much for teaching us your ways. We pray that we would listen. We pray, Lord, that you would use your word and your spirit in changing our lives. Lord, that we would live more and more for you and less for us. Please teach us now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to encourage you to live for Christ. And when I say that, I don't mean that I want to encourage you in to go through religious motions, to pray before every meal, to come to church every Sunday. But I mean living for Christ, truly believing in Him. Not following Christian traditions, but really taking God seriously. The passage that we're going to look at this morning in Proverbs shows example after example of people who did not take God seriously. They're not trusting, they're not obeying. They're not living for Christ. And through these bad examples, we're warned of not taking God seriously. Now, there are many different methods of teaching truth, but the method that we see used here in these verses is one of showing what is wrong in order to teach us to do what is right. So as you look through these verses, they don't teach us directly what we should do. We don't see examples of what is right, but they show us what we should not do and put it in a negative light. We're shown the consequences of doing what is wrong, that we might learn from these bad examples to do what is right. Certainly, some people hate to hear negative instructions, like don't do this and don't do that. But at times, it is very instructive to hear what not to do and why not to do it. And so we're given these warnings. This is the outline, these four warnings. We're here warned not to mistreat our parents. We're warned not to stop listening to discipline. Not to use your mouth for wickedness. And lastly, warned not to scoff. Now I know that many of you are very serious about living for Christ. But none of us must ever think that we have arrived. So it's my prayer as we go through these verses that God would open our eyes, that each of us might see areas in our own lives where we're not living for Christ. And that by God's grace, He would continue to work in us, that we would live for ourselves less, that we would live for Christ more and more. So may we take God seriously and live for Christ. So number one, the first warning, a warning not to mistreat our parents. Verse 26, "He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son." Now, all relationships are important. God makes that very clear in His Word. But He also makes it clear that it is especially important, our relationships with those in authority over us. And this, of course, begins with our relationship with our parents. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. God is very serious about the child-parent relationship. It's of the utmost importance that children respond and relate well to their parents. Certainly, both sides of every relationship is important. But here in this verse, we see the focus is on how children treat their parents. So as we begin to consider this warning of not mistreating our parents, let's first recognize that our parents are the last people on earth that we should be mistreating. Your parents are those who brought you into this world. Your parents are those who cared for you, who probably prayed for you before you were even born. Those who protected you from harm when you couldn't protect yourself. Those who fed you before you could feed yourself. You see, your parents have done more for you than probably anyone else has. So of all people here on earth, we should be the most grateful to them, the most honoring of them. It's no wonder God has commanded us to honor our parents. It is only right and fitting. It is appropriate that we show our parents honor. Now, I mention this to make it very clear what a great and terrible sin we see here in this verse. That a son would assault his father and drive his mother away. This is awful. How dishonoring. How absolutely ungrateful. What a terrible sin. So the verse begins, "He who assaults his father and drives his mother away." These words are speaking of abuse and mistreating your parents. Exodus 21:15 says, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now it's clear that physically attacking your parents is wrong. But I don't believe that this verse is exclusively speaking of physically attacking and mistreating your parents. There are many ways that a son mistreats his parents. He who assaults his father is one who harms his father. He mistreats him, causing him to suffer loss, causing him pain. This is a son who wastes his good upbringing. He may bring damage to the family's reputation, to their finances, because instead of being a help and a blessing to his father, he's causing great loss. He's being negligent. But any number of ways, but no matter how he assaults his father, it's shameful. It's disgraceful. We see here that a prodigal son never hurts himself alone, but he hurts his parents. His father, who has protected him his whole life, is now assaulted and hurt by the very son he protected. This is wrong. And his mother, who has shown him compassion and motherly love, is now driven away by the very son whom she loved and cared for. Again, this isn't a son chasing after his mother with a stick, driving her away physically. This is a son who rebels, who rejects his mother. He lives contrary to how she raised him to live. And he doesn't want any part of her. He doesn't want a relationship with her at all. We see here at the end of the verse, this is not a good son. This is a shameful and disgraceful son. What a shameful son who would mistreat his own parents, harming those who have helped him so much. So here in this verse, we have a bad example. We see a son who's mistreating his parents. And the lesson is for us, obviously, to not be like this son. But we should honor our parents. We should build off the good upbringing that they gave us. Not only are we not to mistreat them, but if our parents are in need, we are the ones who are to help them. You remember Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for their traditions in saying that whatever money I would have given to my parents to help them, I gave it to the Lord. That's wrong. Honor your parents. We must honor them and care for them. And this honoring of our parents, it doesn't stop. You don't grow out of it. Certainly a 50-year-old does not honor his parents in the same way that a 5-year-old does. Relationships change, but he should still honor and continue to be a blessing to his parents. Certainly there will be times in life that are more challenging than others to do this. You know, one time in life that I think of is when you get married and relationships change and you go through this transition time and you leave and cleave. And you must leave and cleave. But we need to be careful as we go through this that we are still honoring our parents. Also, this verse does not hinge on how good of a job your parents did in raising you. Understand that even if your parents did a perfect job in raising you, you would still struggle because of your sin to treat them right. Certainly, some parents are much harder to honor, no doubt about it. Yet honoring them is what we are called to do. So we see here in verse 26 a warning not to mistreat your parents. Honor them. Treat them right all throughout your life. This is part of living for Christ. Honoring your parents. Number two, the warning not to stop listening to discipline. Verse 27. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Now, part of a parent's job is to teach and train, to discipline and correct their children. And this is good and right. This is what God wants them to do. It's a blessing to their children. It guides them aright. But even though it's a great blessing, it isn't always enjoyable. And as sinful people, we hate to be corrected. We hate to be wrong, but we hate more to be told that we're wrong. And so we will be tempted all throughout life, whether you're young or old, because of our sin and pride, we're tempted to stop listening to discipline. And here in this verse, we're shown what happens if you stop listening to discipline. We will go astray. We will go astray. You see, it's through correction and discipline that we stay on course. Every one of us will make mistakes. We will all at times veer off course. And so we need discipline. We need to be corrected and get us back on track. But here we see the terrible outcome of someone who stops listening to discipline. You see, it isn't that they stopped being disciplined, but they stopped listening to discipline. In other words, they won't humble themselves and receive correction. They just keep on living in error. They reject their discipline. They learn nothing from it. They're showing that they don't care about what's right. They just care about doing what they want to do. And when you do this, when you stop listening to discipline, you will stray from the words of knowledge. You will stray from the truth. You will leave what is right. And you'll keep going. You'll find yourself in terrible situations, committing sins you never thought you would commit. All because you wandered farther and farther from the truth because you wouldn't listen to correction. So we see here how destructive it is to stop listening to discipline. It's foolish. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent." We're all sinners. We will all need discipline at times. So when that time comes, be prudent. Receive discipline. Learn from your mistakes and repent of your sins. Humble yourself and listen to your father's discipline. Even though it may not be enjoyable, never forget that discipline is a great blessing from a loving God and loving parents. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights." What a blessing to be loved by God. What a blessing to have parents on earth who delight in you. What a blessing it is to not be left in your sin, but to be corrected, to be disciplined by those who love you. May we be humble and correctable. May we be mature enough to get past the unpleasantness of discipline and examine ourselves and repent of our sins. May we never stop listening to discipline, for if we do, we will stray from the words of knowledge. Number three, a warning not to use your mouth for wickedness. Verse 28. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Here we see some of the destruction that is caused by a wicked mouth. We see here a sinful man who does not fear God. He's not living life with any concern of having to answer to the Almighty God. It's as if he sees the world as his own playground for sin. He doesn't care about what's right or wrong. He's not bothered by the innocent suffering unjustly, nor does he care if the guilty go free. It says a rascally witness makes a mockery of justice. This is one who's dishonest. He bears false witness. He's lying, giving false testimony. And because of this, he's causing injustice. He's intentionally perverting justice. And this liar wreaks havoc on society and law and order. But not only does he use his mouth for wickedness by lying, he also uses his mouth to spread iniquity. Just as the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, encouraging what is right, being honest, speaking the truth, the mouth of the wicked is a fountain of death. What comes out of the wicked's mouth is lies and falsehood. They talk about things they should not speak about. They encourage sin. You see, you're either gathering or you're scattering. You're either helping those around you, pointing them to Christ, encouraging them to do what is right, or you're hurting those around you, leading them astray. We speak from that which fills our heart. And so the wicked open their mouth, and outflows iniquity, outflows evil. The word used here is spreads. The mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. You see, they don't keep their evil to themselves, but they're spreading it. They're broadcasting it. So as they open their mouth and evil pours out, they're poisoning those around them. So we see here in this verse the destruction that comes with using your mouth for wickedness. A liar is a menace in all realms of society. Now, this is obviously not following Christ. This is not how the Lord wants us to use our mouth. We want to honor Him. We want to bless those with the words that we speak. Bless those around us. Speaking what is true, what is right. Instead of using our mouth to spread iniquity, which leads to death, we use our mouth to spread truth, which leads to life. So the fourth warning, verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. It is a foolish person who scoffs and scorns, who ridicules what is sacred or serious. You see, there are many people who go through life just doing their own thing, with no concern for what God has said. They scoff at the very thought of fearing God. They scorn those who seek to please the Lord, who live by the principles found in Scripture. They tell them to lighten up. Don't take life so seriously. Oftentimes, they may look like they're doing well. And for a while, they look like they're having fun. But we see here in Proverbs that sooner or later, they will get what they deserve. Judgments are prepared for them. And judgments they will get. They may not want to take God seriously. They want to pretend that God isn't real. But before long, they will face the reality of God's judgment. There's nothing funny or lighthearted about it. And they will see how real and serious God is. There are consequences in life. Punishments are real. And the back of fools will be beaten. We see here that the judgments of the wicked will be painful. They will get what their wickedness deserves. Here we see what a grave mistake it is to scoff at religion and to go your own way. We must take God seriously. We must take to heart all that He has said. As Moses instructed the Israelites before he died, you remember, did he say, okay, there it is, the promised land, go in and enjoy it. Carefree life, relax and enjoy. No, this is what he said in Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47. He said to them, take to your heart all the words which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. We must take God seriously. We must take Him seriously. Here in this verse, we see the painful outcome for those who don't take God seriously. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. So in conclusion, we've seen in these four verses a person who doesn't take God seriously. They don't care what God has said. But God has spoken on all of these issues. But it doesn't matter to him. And so he mistreats his parents as if it doesn't matter at all. He dishonors them and rejects their discipline as if it was unimportant. He lies, makes a mockery of justice because he doesn't care what's right or wrong. He just goes through life living for himself. But at the end, judgment awaits. Certainly, part of what makes Proverbs so convicting is that as we go through these verses, we're able to see ourselves in each of these. This is describing us apart from Christ. But Christ has called us out of this darkness. Praise God. He's called us to walk in newness of life that is found only in Him. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Brothers and sisters, it matters how we live. It's important. So don't lighten up. Don't relax. Yes, trust in Christ, but follow Him. Obey Him. Take God seriously. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word, for these instructions, Lord. We confess that too often we do not care what you have said. Too often, Lord, we're negligent. We're more interested in having a good time than being concerned with how you want us to live. Lord, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for rescuing us from the domain of darkness. Lord, we pray that we would honor you, that you would continue to work in us. Lord, that you would show us the areas of our lives where we're not seeking you, where we're not living for you. Lord, may we honor our parents. Lord, may we never stop listening to discipline. Lord, I pray we would see the blessing in being corrected. And Lord, may we be honest. May we take you seriously. May we take our time here on earth seriously. That we would not spend it for ourselves, but that we would live for you. You who has died for us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.